Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a concrete echo tape his atmosphere in Ableton Live 12, and not just as a background wash. We're making a real arrangement element, something that feels like it was dragged off a worn jungle dubplate, played through a dusty system, and left echoing in a damp concrete stairwell. That's the energy. This kind of atmosphere matters because in jungle and old school D&B, the drums hit harder when they emerge from something unstable, degraded, and a little haunted. The room has history. The track has weight, and the atmosphere helps you create that without touching your kick and sub lane. The goal is simple: build a texture that supports the intro, adds movement and transitions, frames the snare, and disappears when the drop needs full impact. If you do it right, the track feels deeper, meaner, and more alive. If you overdo it, it turns into mush. So we're going to keep it controlled, musical, and ruthless where it matters. First, choose the right source. You want something short, mid-range rich, and already a bit dirty in character. A dusty vinyl fragment works well. A field recording with room tone works well. A spoken word chop, a snare tail, even a tiny stab from an old soul record can all work. What you do not want is a giant glossy pad or a bright full-range sample with loads of bass content. That just makes the mix harder to control. In Ableton, drag that sample onto an audio track and trim it down to somewhere between about 100 milliseconds and 1.5 seconds. Keep only the part that has texture, reflection, or useful transient edge. What to listen for here is that moment where you can already imagine it bouncing off hard surfaces. If you can hear a stairwell in your head, you're in the right zone. Now, decide whether you want to treat it as a stable atmosphere or a chopped-up jungle ingredient. If you want control, drop it into simpler and use classic or one-shot mode that gives you a playable texture you can shape tightly. If you want more broken movement, use slice to new MIDI track and let Ableton split it into fragments. That works especially well when you want ghostly phrasing around your breaks. In simpler, start with a low pass around 7 to 12 kHz if the source is too bright. Give it a short attack, then let the decay sit somewhere around 300 milliseconds to 1.5 seconds, depending on how long you want the body of the sound to breathe. If the sample feels too clean, a little glide or pitch smear can help it feel more like worn tape. What to listen for is whether the sound still has identity after the shaping. If it turns into pure noise too quickly, you've lost the musical event inside the texture. And in D&B, that event matters. It's what gives the atmosphere a sense of intention. Now let's build the core chain. A really solid starting point is echo, then reverb, then EQ8. Echo gives us the rhythmic bounce. Try sync values like 1/8, 3/16, or 1/4. Keep feedback in the 20-45% zone to start. Filter the repeats so they stay in the mid-range and don't leak into the low end. If the transient gets too crowded, use ducking so the tail gets out of the way of the hit. Then reverb. Keep the decay moderate. Around 0.8 to 2.5 seconds is usually plenty. You want space, not a giant glossy cloud. Raise the low cut until the reverb stops muddying the kick and sub area, and trim the top if it starts sounding too modern or shiny. Then EQ8. High pass the atmosphere somewhere, around 150 to 300 Hz depending on how dense the track is. If it gets harsh around 2.5 to 5 kHz, pull that region back a little. If the hiss feels brittle, soften the top shelf. Why this works in D&B is because the atmosphere is living in the same emotional space as the drums, but not the same frequency space. The echo gives motion, the reverb gives physical distance, and the EQ keeps the layer from stepping on the break or the bass. That separation is everything. What you should hear is something that feels like hard surfaces, not a soft ambient pad. If it starts sounding dreamy, shorten the decay and reduce the blur. We want concrete, not clouds. Now split the hiss out as its own layer. This is one of the biggest moves in the whole process. Don't bake your hiss into the same chain as everything else. Give it its own track. That way, you can control density separately from the echo body. Use a noise-like source, room tone, vinyl hiss, tape noise, or even a filtered section of the same sample where the musical content is mostly removed. Then process it with auto filter, saturator, and utility. High pass it or band pass it so it sits in a controlled dusty band. Add a little saturation, just enough to rough up the surface. Then use utility to manage width. Sometimes slightly wide works beautifully. Sometimes narrower is better if you want the center of the track to stay focused. Bring the hiss up in intros and breakdowns. Pull it back in the drop. Let it spike into fills if you want extra tension. That movement is important. What to listen for here is whether the hiss sounds like film grain or just white noise. We want texture, not static. It should feel old. not simply loud. Now start arranging it. This layer should not just sit there looping forever. It needs phrasing. Place it in a 2-bar or 4-bar pattern so it responds to the drums. Try a short burst on beat 1, then another smaller hit on the end of 2, then a longer tail into the next bar, then leave a little space before the snare answer. That kind of spacing is very jungle. The atmosphere can answer the break rather than sit under it constantly. It can frame the snare instead of covering it. A good arrangement idea is to keep things sparse in the intro, then increase the density before the first drum statement. In the drop, pull the wash back so the drums hit clean. Then, later in the tune, bring the atmosphere back with a different timing feel so it doesn't just repeat the same emotional move. That second point is important. If the atmosphere returns exactly the same way every time, it stops feeling like arrangement and starts feeling like copy-paste automation. Now automate. This is where the atmosphere starts breathing like a real object. Move echo feedback up a bit into transitions, then pull it back sharply before the drop returns. Open the hiss filter just before a switch up, then close it fast. Slightly widen the stereo image in the intro, and narrow it in the middle of the drop if the bass needs more focus. You can even nudge the sample start position if you're using simpler, just enough to create a worn tape feeling. Keep it subtle. We're not doing a giant EDM sweep. We're creating the feeling that the room itself is unstable. A really effective move is to push feedback from around 25% to 40% before the drop, then cut it right before the kick comes back in. That sudden release makes the drop feel bigger. It's like the room opens up for a second. And here's a useful coaching habit. Don't fall in love with the texture before you've checked it in context. Solo can lie to you. Mute and unmute it against the drums and bass. Ask yourself, does the snare still punch through? Does the sub still feel centered and strong? Does the break feel more propulsive with the layer on? Or is this just eating space? That full context check is the real test. If the low mid area gets cloudy, cut harder with EQ. Sometimes you'll need a stronger high pass than you expected, especially if the rest of the arrangement is busy. If the top end clashes with hats, soften the hiss or dip the scratchy band around 8 to 10 kHz. Also check mono. If the texture is very wide, make sure it doesn't vanish or become facey when collapsed. A wide hiss can be beautiful, but the core echo body should still hold together. Keep the center sacred. That's what keeps club translation strong. Once the pattern works, commit it to audio. This is a big pro move. Resample the output to a new audio track. That gives you something you can chop, reverse, flatten, and arrange like a real production element instead of a fragile live chain. Print a few different versions if you can. One cleaner version for drops. One darker, wider version for intros and breakdowns. And one more damaged version with extra saturation or feedback for fills and fakeouts. Why this matters is simple. Printed audio gives you control over feel. It lets you capture a moment when the atmosphere is working and turn that into a reusable arrangement tool. In jungle and old school DNB, that hand-edited, dubby quality is part of the charm. From there, decide what flavor you want. If you want a haunted room feel, use more reverb, softer highs, a slightly wider stereo image and less saturation. That's great for smoky intros, dub-wise sections, and eerie breakdowns. If you want an industrial wall feel, keep the reverb tighter, use more slap from the echo, push saturation a little harder, and narrow the body. That works better for darker, harder, warehouse-style tracks. Both are valid. The question is not what's dirtier. The question is what job the atmosphere is doing in the arrangement. That's the real mindset shift here. This layer might be a soft intro bed. It might be transient framing around the snare. It might be a pressure build before the drop. It might even be a brief collapse after a fill. Those are different states, so treat them as different states. A good way to work is to shake three versions, a restrained version for the drop, a wider and darker version for intros and breakdowns, and a more damaged version for fills. That gives you contrast fast without rebuilding the sound every time. Now, let's talk common mistakes. The first one is making the hiss too loud. If it starts stealing attention from the break, it's too much. Pull it back and let EQ do more of the work. The second is letting echoes live in the low end. That will blur the kick and sub and make the drop feel weak. High pass aggressively if needed. The third is using too much reverb decay. Long tails can smear the fast stop-start phrasing that gives DNB its bite. The fourth is leaving the layer static for the whole track. Atmosphere should evolve. Even small changes in feedback, filter cutoff, or width can make a huge difference. And the fifth is forgetting the drums before adding atmosphere. If it sounds good solo but fights the snare, it fails the DNB test. A few pro moves can really push this further. Let the atmosphere duck under the kick and snare so the transient stays lethal. Put a little saturation before the reverb if you want the tail to feel like it's hitting old concrete. Keep the deepest part of the sound more scented than you think, and reserve the widest information for the hiss or late tail. And if the track feels too polished, degrade the attack of the atmosphere rather than overcooking the whole mix. That last one is huge. Worn texture is often more convincing when you damage the edges instead of destroying everything.